Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Euphoric Hemp Oil Infused Chewing Gum. You only need to try Euphoric once to see what all the fuss is about. And to prove it, a limited supply of free trials have just been released nationwide. Just visit this website, chewenjoy.com, to claim your free trial today while supplies last. Again, the website is chewenjoy.com. Chewenjoy.com. Hey, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online. As we enter into another year of the podcast, I can't thank you enough for listening and hopefully your support. With more options than ever before for podcast listening, supporting this program and becoming an extra podcast person is more important than it ever has been in the past. And I always try and make it worth your while to be a supporter. For only $5 a month as an EPP, an extra podcast person, here's what you get. You get access to our bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week, more than 300 in the archive that you get with our best ghost stories. You get a free e-copy of our best-selling book, Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People. You also get the audiobook version of it as well. In addition to that, you're going to get advanced episodes of our program released to you weeks before they go to the public, and they're commercial free. So if you're a big listener of the show, you want to cut the ads out, you want to cut this plea out as well, become an EPP, an extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. You're going to get all of that. On top of that, you also get access to our video archive of our episodes of Seeing Ghosts with new episodes coming in 2020. You get advanced ticket sale options when we go and do live shows so you can get seats before everybody else, and a whole lot of other extras throughout the year as a supporter of our program for only $5 a month. Please consider supporting the show. You guys spending that $5 a month as a whole is what keeps this alive. Without the support, we will not exist. So if you listen, if you've been an EPP in the past, please consider signing back up to be an extra podcast person and help this show survive. We love doing it, but we can only do it with your support. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. And thank you for your support. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a group of college students discovers they are in for the fright of their lives in their new home. One by one, they slowly learn that the dorm house they live in has an extra guest. A dead one at that.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com to share your real ghost story with us. Get all of our bonus episodes, almost 300 of them now. You just go to ghostpodcast.com, or if you like using Patreon, which has kind of become the go-to way of supporting podcasts and such, we have a Patreon page as well. Same content there. Just go to patreon.com/realghoststories. And for $5 a month, you'll get access to all the bonus episodes. You get advanced episodes of the show weeks before they go to the public, and they're ad-free. So that's another little incentive there for you to help support the show and keep it on the air. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi there.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. And you?
I am counting down the days until Walking Dead. Not the continuation of the season, although I'm going to watch that. At least kind of half-assed watch it. But the Walking Dead World Beyond.
Oh.
Are you excited about this?
No. This is like the next generation, literally, like the kids that have grown up in The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Okay. I think they need to get their shit together on the regular Walking Dead and Fear before they add a third one.
Because it just kind of feels like, I don't know that it's ever going to get to this point, but apparently that kind of shows you things worked out okay in some parts of the world. The setting is the universe of The Walking Dead, delving into a new mythology and story that follows the first generation raised in a surviving civilization of the post-apocalyptic world. Two sisters, along with two friends, leave a place of safety and confront the brave dangers known as the unknown, living in undead on an important quest. Pursued. This is almost like corporate speak.
Yeah.
Pursued by those who wish to protect them and those who wish them harm. A tale of growing up and transformation unfurls across dangerous terrain, challenging everything they know about the world, themselves, and each other. All along the way, they strive to keep their pets alive when one of the characters has a mysterious love affair with a goat.
Okay. All right. So this basically is like a Walking Dead version for teens.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sold.
It's like the, when they made like the teenage version of Sex in the City.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That worked out well.
Yeah.
Somebody also said in one of the articles that I was reading about it is they kind of remind, because it's called The Walking Dead World Beyond, of the late 90s when everything was adding the word extreme to it. There was like your brands, and then there was this extreme. There was like a Ghostbusters extreme that was a cartoon. There was then like Mountain Dew extreme.
I was just thinking of like that.
Yeah. Everything was like just maxed out. Surge was a big thing at that point in time. It kind of feels like that with some of these brands. I mean, it's the same way all the movies that come out. It's like Spider-Man 34. There's no original ideas. Like we need a resurgence in that. There needs to be a renaissance of ideas, not just rehashing the same shit over and over.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of getting bored with Walking Dead. I'm watching it because I've seen every episode.
Yeah, and you almost feel like, well, I got this many hours into it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it kind of has gotten where it sucks. I think Fear was the biggest disappointment of the year for me. I was like, this is stupid. It turned stupid this year.
I don't like the uber positive. Like, we're just here to help. And it's like, you're not a fucking comic. I mean, actually, you are a comic book character.
But you're not a superhero.
Yeah.
And they were trying to almost be superhero-esque. And I was like, this is dumb.
Yeah. And that atmosphere in that world, it's okay. It's okay to really think shit's gone bad. Because shit has gone bad.
And it's okay to just try and stay alive.
Yeah.
And not go help the world.
Yeah. I don't see where, you know, you survived all these things. You have these other people that are relying on you, that suddenly you're just going to drop everything to go and try and help the stranded person way over there that also looks suspiciously like it could be a trap as well, because there's no reason why they couldn't be coming over to you.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot of poor decision making on these shows that you just see the traps coming. I don't know. I'm just kind of getting... I liked The Walking Dead for many a seasons.
Yeah.
I really think... I hate to say it, because like, I think the show could survive if they got the storyline a little more on track, but it was kind of when Rick left. Even a little bit before that, it was starting to kind of go down.
Yeah.
But I was kind of lost there.
Yeah.
I watch it and I play on my phone the whole time, and then I ask you, what just happened?
I know.
Then you re-explain it to me, and I have no idea what you're talking about, because I don't know the building blocks that led up to what you were referring to.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay. So, there you go. April 10th, I think it is. It's on this article somewhere when it starts. Are we going to watch it? Are we going to
get we'll those, try it once.
Get those hours
if anything,
of our lives
just
back?
To make fun of it. I'm willing to watch anything once if it's got the possibility of me making fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's fun.
There's a lot of good stuff that's on television now. There's so many drama series that are actually done well that... I don't know. I feel like shows like this are not going to last when it's just like, let's keep beating a dead horse.
Because
there's so many options. And yeah. Back to the conversation in just a moment. First, our supporter today, Euphoric. If you've not checked this stuff out, do it. Hemp oil infused chewing gum. I'm a big fan of hemp oil and CBD products. This stuff, it's kind of changing the world of chewing gum. Hemp oil infused chewing gum. It's not your average gum. In fact, its innovative patent delivery system is like nothing you've ever experienced. As a chewing gum, Euphoric, it brings in the innovation to the CBD market in a way that it delivers the CBD and the hemp oil to your body in a time-released fashion. Okay? It happens, obviously. It's a gum. You chew it through your mouth. Through the gum's flavor and consistency, make it possible to chew longer, Chewing the hemp oil-infused gum increases the absorption in the mouth. In fact, Euphoric hemp oil-infused chewing gum has the best absorption rate on the market, 84%. That's pretty good. Compared to edibles like gummies and other things, even capsules, Euphoric absorption rate is about 50% greater. So it really, it gets into you so you can enjoy the benefits of the hemp oil and the CBD. It's because edibles have to pass through the digestive system, which breaks down the ingredients and it reduces the absorption rate. It just is what it is. Euphoric, though, by chewing it, keeping it going in your mouth, it gets to you better. And it tastes great. It's a great tasting gum. If you're a gum chewer and you're a fan of CBD products, there's no reason why you shouldn't be checking this stuff out. You don't get high. It's legal in all 50 states, gluten-free, sugar-free, non-GMO. It's everything you want in a chewing gum. And you know, why do I like this stuff? Because sometimes I'm kind of achy because I'm getting older and that sort of stuff. And it's like, when I started discovering CBD, I'm like, oh my gosh, this really kind of makes you feel a bit better. It does. It's one of those things. We live in a world where this is out there now. This is great stuff. You can chew it during the day and not get high. And it's a great product. You need to try Euphoric once to see what all the fuss is about. To prove it, a limited supply of free trials have just been released nationwide. Just visit this website, chewenjoy.com, to claim your free trial today while supplies last. Again, that website, chewenjoy.com, chewenjoy.com. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. There's going to be a Rick movie, too.
Yeah, I heard about that.
I'm kind of curious about that. But again, it's just more like, I've invested the hours already. So, anyway, on to the ghost stories today. It says, hey, Brewskis, I'm Bethany from Cleveland, Ohio. I love the show for about a year now. I'm still way behind on regular Real Ghost Stories Online episodes, but just became an EPP. You've provided such an enormous amount of content. You most definitely deserve it. I'll have to skip forward for a while, though, in case you read my story. Short background. I lived and grew up in Ohio, but as a student a few years back, I went to a college in Pennsylvania. It's in a tiny town located about an hour from Pittsburgh. The school started out very small, but throughout the years has been steadily growing. There were about 5,000 to 6,000 students during the time I attended. Being almost fully surrounded by a river, there's really no room to expand campus except up the slopes of the mountain nearby. Because of this, most of the students didn't live right there in town. We lived in the bordering towns and communities a few miles to school every day. My whole story happened during my first year there and centers around one house. I was an engineering student and ran Division II track for the school. Since I was just a freshman, I was forced to live in a gross old dorm on campus that was promptly demolished the year after. Anyways, all my new friends were, of course, other track runners on my new college team. Four sophomores and junior runners were renting a house together in a neighboring town called Cole Center. It became the central hangout for the track team and our track team parties. Side note, as the name of the city suggests, yes, there were creepy abandoned coal plants overgrown by the forest that I eventually explored. Known disasters of the past that had many coal miner fatalities, and true stories about places where mining fires still burn to this day, decades later. They'll continue to burn underground for years and years from uncontrollable blazes that couldn't be put out once they started. Back to this track house, as we dubbed it, even though I kept all my belongings in my dorm room, I really lived and slept either at the track house or my new pole vaulting boyfriend's house. Weird things happened throughout in that track house that it became a joke amongst everyone who lived and visited there to blame unexplained noises or mishaps on our ghost Charlie. I honestly don't remember who came up with this name. It could have been me, but it's too long ago to remember. Even though everyone knew about Charlie, I think most likely people just thought it was a weird inside joke we shared. But the core group of us knew Charlie was very real. Giving him a name and making it a joke, I think, was our natural way of handling that truth a little easier. By shaking our fist in the air, yelling at the house, "Dang it, Charlie!" The laughing and going on with our business, we were writing him off, ignoring reality. It started with the girl I immediately became best friends with when joining the team, Kylie. She was a sophomore. The house was basic. When you walked in the front door, there was a hallway of bedrooms on the left, living room, and kitchen on the right. The basement door was somewhere in the middle there, but then one more room was off the back right side of the house by itself. You could only get to it by walking through the kitchen. Kylie took this room and converted it into a bedroom. It was on the opposite side of the house than the rest of the bedrooms, but it was a big room. Plus, it had French doors that gave you access to a small back patio. French doors, just when they include top-to-bottom windows in them. There's two of these doors next to each other with the handles in the middle, hinges on the outside, and they open the same direction, the way cabinet doors open. We thought it was awesome. That is until we slept in there. I just felt scared in there at night for no reason. I wasn't even alone in there. Kylie and I were always there together, and she felt it too, like being always watched. We both hated it in there and kind of told our roommates, but didn't push the subject because it was just a weird feeling for both of us at this point. After enough of that, it just felt like 24/7 now that the room gave off the creepiest vibes. Even when the sun lit up the whole room on beautiful days, I just didn't want to enter that room. Kylie covered the windows and the French doors to the patio, thinking maybe we felt weird in there at night because it just looked so black outside, and the possibility that we couldn't see if people were looking in, that didn't change anything though. Really soon after that, we spent an evening after class, practice, and dinner moving all her shit out of that room as fast as we could before nightfall. Our winters are brutal up here, so we ultimately made the room a wintertime game room for our parties because our summertime parties were held in the basement and attached garage, which was much too cold once winter hit. People would play beer pong in there and use the patio to smoke. The moment we realized there was most definitely a ghost had been a totally normal night to begin with. We were just sitting in the living room with the TV on, maybe eating or drinking like college students do. Now, like I said before, the living room and kitchen were on the right side of the house. There wasn't a door between them, but they did have just a thin dividing wall you'd walk around to get from one room to the other. You couldn't see into the kitchen from the living room or into the living room from the kitchen. We heard some glass hit the floor and shatter. Not mad or nervous or anything, we just all started yelling, "Hey, ah, hey!" Looking around at each other to see who was missing from the room, we all non-verbally concluded it was Ruby in the kitchen. So when no one responded, we all started yelling her name too. "Ruby, are you drunk? What did you break?" There was just silence. Then, confused, Ruby came walking out of the hallway from her bedroom on the other side of the house, smirking strange at us. She was like, "What now? What did I do? I don't know what you're talking about." Even though we just saw her walk out of the hallway, not the kitchen. We're like, "Didn't you just break something in the kitchen?" "We all just heard it." As she walked through the living room to the kitchen entrance, she explained that she had been in her room for like 2 hours straight just studying. I can still picture her face from my seat on the futon as she saw the pile of glass on the floor of the kitchen. Still a little confused, but now with a pinch of fear in her expression. My question started spilling out. "What? Ruby, what is it?" We all scrambled to our feet and ran over to see the broken glass. What made it shocking was that it had shattered directly in the center of the kitchen floor. It hadn't fallen from the kitchen counter or table or sink. It was about 5 feet or more away from anything the cup could have been resting on. So it didn't just tip over. Someone had to pick it up, walk to the center of the room, and drop it. No one was in there or in that creepy room attached to the kitchen. We'd immediately checked. That whole week, there was a lot of what the F's and how the hell's coming from all of us as we tried to come up with a plausible theory of what could have happened. There were none. So Charlie was born. Must have been that pesky Charlie. The last time I slept in that house was after one night alone there. Yeah, yikes. People all over campus were leaving for spring break, but I was one of the few staying at school for it. I was only 19, plus college sports and classes don't leave time for a job. So I was too young and too broke to go anywhere for spring break. For some reason this night, I absolutely needed to stay at the track house. All I can think is my boyfriend was probably already gone and I was giving my dorm mate and her boyfriend time alone like I did a lot. I never wanted to be in the dorm room anyway. Knowing I was going to be alone with Charlie was terrifying. I remember begging another track friend of mine, Christian, to come stay with me at the house. She didn't live there either, but it wasn't a strange request to her because she knew Charlie was real. She was there the night the glass broke. I don't remember the reason she couldn't stay that night, but she promised to get there as early as possible, most likely 9 or 10 a.m. the next morning for me. I was very grateful I could repeatedly tell myself to just get through the night and Kristen would be here in the morning. Skipping forward to that day, I was just hanging around while my friend Kylie packed up to leave for break. We were the only ones in the house, and all her track roommates had already left for a break, too. Naturally, as I mentally prepare myself for this night alone, that same day, paranormal sounds happened. I heard scraping, rummaging, and rumbles from the basement more than once. I finally stopped ignoring it, rolled my eyes, and tiptoed over to the basement door, cracked it open, stuck my head into the stairwell, and just listened. I couldn't see anything as the stairs didn't face into the open, but it was not hard to hear. It sounded precisely the same as our prep for a party, moving our old trash-picked basement couches with the wooden feet around on the tile floor where it scrapes and screeches like nails on a chalkboard, sounds of picking up and dropping cardboard boxes of heavy miscellaneous college student books and crap, and the loud scratchy sound of those same cardboard boxes when they're dragged across the grit on a dirty tile floor. As I backed away with my hand over my open mouth, Kylie noticed my concerned look and knew what was probably going on. She also crept quietly over to listen. By then, a minute or two had passed without stopping, no pausing between each noise or any question about what we were hearing. I screamed down the stairs, "Charlie, quit moving shit!" Then slammed the door, and we both ran away down the hall to her room, giggling and giggling. The noises didn't stop. They went on for a bit. Stopping, I don't know when. Of course, the whole night alone after that, I wasn't giggling anymore. I didn't stop staring at the basement door. I had to lay down in place where I could see the TV and the basement door at the same time. Anytime I fell asleep, I'd wake up with a start, scared and jerking my head around, looking for Charlie, just to stare at the door some more. I don't know what I thought was going to happen, but I was just terrified and almost sure that something was going to happen. The terrible night, that was. Even though I never heard any more sounds or saw anything, the damage was already done. I decided I wasn't hanging around there as much anymore. When my friend showed up early the next morning, I told her about all the noise the day before and made her go down there with me to see if a mess was made and nothing looked moved or damaged or anything. So those sounds are still completely unexplained. I don't remember much besides those few things. They were the most traumatic events, though, I guess. Plus, like I said, I stopped being there as much. I do barely recall having to go down there after all that and was so damn scared. I'd just always be sure to tell Charlie what I was doing, and I'd be out quickly. It was always totally fine. I have so many more fond memories when compared to the scary ones, so that place still holds a good place in my heart. There is one last thing I need to share, though. On the last day they lived there, move-out day, I remember being there as a good friend, helping everyone carry out their crap and pack their vehicles. A neighbor came over to talk to the ones moving out, and Kylie ended up over there in the yard talking to the old man. I just kept watching them talk, and the old man pointing here and there and over there as they spoke. I was interested in what he must be saying, but I knew she'd fill me in when she was done talking. She said she asked him how long he'd lived there, and it was a long time. She asked about the place, anything weird had ever happened. He told her something crudely like, "Oh yeah, guy shot himself in the face in the back patio one day. A while back, he was found sitting on a bench in a swing right back there, right outside those French doors." "Oh my gosh, do you remember his name?" she asked. I don't remember his first name. No, it wasn't Charlie, but can you guess what his last name was? I still get chills to this day thinking about it. I have goosebumps right now. His last name? Charles. And that's where we break into the theme song from Charles in Charge. Charles in charge of our days and our nights.
I love it when they are able, they being the people that are being haunted, are able to give a name to the ghost, and it ends up having an actual explanation like this, where Charlie was actually part of the guy's name, Charles.
Yeah.
You know, I love that because there's some way that message is being conveyed.
Yeah.
And that just baffles me.
It's like a download is how I kind of explain it sometimes, where people get messages and stuff where it's like, "Well, did you hear someone say that to you?" It's like, no, it's like, just kind of know this information.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of probably how something like that would happen. And if you're just looking for a name and you pick up something like Charlie or Charles, you know, you're going to think it's a first name.
Yeah.
And that's what you go with.
Mm-hmm.
So, creepy story.
Yeah.
I've never lived in a dorm. I've never lived in a roommate situation, you know, like kids in college do.
Yeah.
I remember, like, at that age, going and visiting people that were in those, you know, living in a situation like that, and always being uncomfortable in the houses. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, they're big old houses and usually older parts of town, oftentimes around the college campuses.
Yeah.
And you just, it's interesting because somebody have like really interesting woodwork and stuff, if it hadn't been destroyed by the many years of college kids mm-hmm. going through the houses. And I don't know, those houses, they're always so interesting to me, but I always just kind of got weird vibes in them.
Yeah.
Just like, I don't know if it's just because I didn't really fit in with college age kids when I was in college age. And I just, I didn't like the kind of weird, extreme, nervous energy mm-hmm. that seems to kind of surround that, or what. But I can totally see that, you know, these houses were once grand homes that someone was very proud of, mm-hmm. that someone, you know, took great care of, and this was a their point of pride. And to see so many of them, you know, just kind of get shit out by college kids. Because it's the rent. I mean, some take better care than others, but I'd say majority of them, you know, I'd hate to be the fucking landlord.
Yeah.
Because every, you know, turnover year or whatever it is, there's probably a lot of let's fix. We got this, all this damage, mm-hmm. you know, you got to deal with. And if it was my house and I'm looking back on it, I'd be pissed too. Mm-hmm. I would be very much haunting the shit out of it. And Harper pointed this out to me yesterday. We were having dinner mm-hmm. and she's 7, by the way, as of this recording. And she's like, you know, Dad, I hope that you live to be really old. You know, or how did she say it? She's like, I hope you live as long as you possibly can so we can have a lot of good times together. Like, yeah, I do too, honey. She's like, I'm going to try and make it to my 90s. She's like, and then you'll probably be dead by then. She's very matter of fact about it, like, which I'm fine with. She's real. She's not like not understanding how life works. And you'd be like, well, honey, I'll probably be dead by the time you're 90. And she'd like be heartbroken.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, you'll be dead by then without a doubt. You know, but she's like, but she says, but you know, then when I die, you know, I'll find you. And then we're going to go haunt the shit out of our house because the house we live in now, we love. And, you know, by that time, who knows who's going to be living in it? You know, it could be teenagers or something. She really has a thing mm-hmm. against teenagers. Right
she does.
Now.
Yes.
And I did at that same age, too. And she's like, you know, and, you know, if they're not taking care of it, we're going to haunt the shit out of it. Just you and me together. We're going to haunt the shit out of the house. So she's kind of got a goal in mind. Mm-hmm. Of she's really planning ahead.
She is. Funny.
So if anyone hears the show 90 years from now, beware. You may want to figure out where it was recorded. Maybe in the bedroom you're sitting in right now. And so are we. So I think it'd be great. I'd haunt the shit out of it.
She is looking forward to those days, which is kind of weird that she's looking forward to being a ghost. But she is.
Yeah. I mean, she's not like, it's not like weird, macabre, like she has a death wish or anything.
No.
She's fully like plans on living a long, full life. But she's like, once that's done, which, you know, she's totally knows someday she'll get old. Mm-hmm. She's like, when that's done, then we're going to do that. It's just like on to the next thing. And like, that's I can't fault it. It's not a horrible way of looking at things. It's kind of weird. And, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah, there's a grimness to it, but it's funny.
She always likes to have something to look forward to. I think that's just, that's it.
It's her way of kind of dealing with that reality or that acceptance, you know, that everyone hits usually of some point of, you know, when you're little, realizing, oh, there is a finality at some point. You know, maybe not everyone hits that, I don't know. I think I was a little kid and I think thought of that shit.
I just hope she doesn't enlighten her friends. Could you imagine the rest of the first grade when she's like, you know, your parents are going to die someday. They're all going to just have meltdowns. And she's like, but it'll be fun. You know, it's like her, you know, that's kind of how she is.
I'm waiting for like the drawing,
the color, you know, where it's like, look what Harper colored today. What is this?
Yeah.
It's her haunting the shit out of the house.
Yeah.
You know, with her dad. And they're like, well, is her dad dead? No, that's me. She's planning ahead. You know?
I know.
I don't know how you, I don't know. I mean, and it's not alarming. I'm not alarmed.
No, she's just more aware, I guess, that that's what happens. And it's not like we, outside of doing the show, you and I talk about it sometimes, but it's not like we sit down at the dinner table and we talk about death all the time or being a ghost. And she knows what we do, but she doesn't.
Yeah.
She's not part of it. And it's something very much by the time they get home, that part of our day's done.
Yeah. And the house is bright and cheery, and the last thing you'd know is that we do a ghost show. I'm going to put some of our graphics up here in this office, but I don't have them up yet. But other than that, you have no idea. I mean, we don't have like macabre stuff all over. I mean, there's a lot of folks in this world, whether they're doing the entertainment end of it like we are, or they're investigators or stuff. And I follow them on Facebook and Instagram. I'm at Tony Bruschi, by the way. She's at Jenny Bruschi, Bruschi. But I've noticed in just following people, you know, people show their personal lives.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a good chunk that, there's not saying anything wrong with this, but there's a good chunk that, you know, their house is decked out in that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. If that's your thing and that's what you like for decor, cool, whatever. But that's not our house.
No.
So it's like you could kind of predict, you know, that she'd be that way because, you know, we have skulls all over and, you know, that's, it's like, no, we don't. It's like there's a metal pig hanging from the wall over there and it says farmhouse and it's, you know, it looks like HGTV. So it's just, it's interesting. It's just, I think a lot of it that doesn't disturb me, and maybe others would look at it going with a raised eyebrow, be like, because half the stuff that she comes up with to me is the same stuff I thought of or said at her exact same age, and I just go, I get it. I mean, it's not coming from this weird place, it's just, I get it.
Yeah.
I wasn't disturbed by it then, I'm not disturbed by it now, and it's just, you know, it's an interesting personality. Mm-hmm. And she'll end up hosting the show once I'm dead, everybody. So there you go. You'll get her until she decides to haunt the house. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's do this call. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny and Carol. This is Caitlin calling from South Lake Tahoe, California. I was calling to tell one of a couple stories that I have about some of the places I've lived. This story is about a place I lived in Santa Rosa, California, in about 2012. I was living at my uncle's house. When I had moved in there, I was house sitting school one night, and I had heard clanging in the garage and automatically assumed it was a ghost because that's just where my mind goes to. So I had been left the house and wasn't doing a very good job at house sitting, obviously. But then I had told my aunt and uncle about what had happened when they got back, and they were like, no, absolutely, it was a ghost. We've kind of been having similar experiences of things tapping on our windows at night when there's nobody there. And they'll be staring out their window, hearing the tapping on their window with very visibly nothing there. About a year after I'd lived there, my sister had moved in with me to be my roommate because we lived in a room that was off of the house. And she started having experiences similar to mine. When she was watching the house one night, she said she saw a shadow of somebody on the wall next to the TV, and when she looked behind her, there was nobody there, and then when she looked back, the shadow was gone. When we both were there one time, we all day had been kind of teasing my uncle's dogs, because if you would say the word three, like the number three, to them it sounded like we were saying treat, and so they would get really excited, so we would say three and trick them and be mean but silly with the dogs. And I was going from the actual house to our room, and I went to the door, and all of a sudden in my ear I heard someone whisper three in my ear, and I just laughed, and I was like, oh my gosh, you're such an asshole, to my sister, because I thought that she was behind me. And I turned around and there was no one there, and I hightailed it out of there and ran over to my room and waited for my sister to get there. And I was like, did you whisper three in my ear? And she was like, no, I was going to the bathroom, like I was nowhere near you. And so I was like, all right, it was the ghost. The ghost is talking to me now. That's great. And then my aunt and uncle, a couple of days later, had said they were sitting on the couch in the living room, and there was a knock on the door, and the dogs were barking and getting all excited like there was someone at the front door. And my uncle went to the door, opened the door. There was no one there. So he was like, all right, you know, somebody's playing prank on us, whatever. So he closes the door, and as he's walking back to the couch, there's a knock on the door again. So, and the dogs are freaking out again. So he goes to the door and he opens it, and there's no one there. And while he's standing there, there is another knock on the door. Dogs are barking, everything. And so they're like, all right, ghost, we know you're here. And just kind of like ignored it. Probably shouldn't open the door now that we all know it was a ghost. But then my aunt was pregnant with my first cousin, and she was in the house, and she told the ghost, you know, you are welcome to stay here, but you are not allowed to scare me or make yourself known to me or my family, or I will sage your ass out of this house. And they haven't had any experiences since. I have other stories about other places that I've lived. Currently, the place I'm living in is pretty fairly active. But I'll call back with those. Thanks for an amazing show. I love it. And all right. Bye.
There you go.
I like it when you can come to an agreement with the ghost and everybody can live happily ever after or happily dead after.
Is it an agreement or is it a threat? Is it like living under the threat of saging your ass out of here?
I think it's an agreement, because if it wasn't, they would continue to do stuff, yeah, knowing that the people have no ability to really stop it.
Mm-hmm.
So
I still really want to know why sage is effective.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, why is sage more effective than rosemary than thyme? It's a than
different type of sage.
It's not like, well, okay, whatever type of sage it is, it's an herb.
Yeah.
And actually, it's not that different type of a sage. I've learned that.
It's not like the sage you use to cook a Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it is.
I thought we established that was not the right kind of sage.
Nope.
Okay.
You can't use Mrs. Dash to get rid of a ghost.
But, okay.
But actually, I think it's any type of sage.
Hmm.
So I want to know what the origin is of that. And then if the belief, and I think a lot of it has to do with the belief system too. Because if you're doing this and not believing it's going to do anything, it's probably not going to do anything.
Yeah.
But if you believe in that power of it doing it, then it's probably going to do something. But I guess my question, and this would be a good one for someone who's, you know, who does that, who does cleansing or who's sensitive or whatever category this is, to ask the question of, well, what if I believed in using rosemary, you know, or for that matter, anything, you know, what if me going around with Nashville hot seasoning around my house, that blend, and I fully believe this is going to exorcise the demon out, would it be just as effective? Or what is the property in sage that does this, that has this interaction that wards these things out? I'm just curious. I'm not saying it doesn't work. I'm just wanting to understand the origin.
Well, first of all, Nashville hot will never get rid of a ghost. Just letting you know that.
What does it have to be?
Sage.
Nashville Hot's pretty impactful if you get a spicy one.
I know. I felt the effects, but we're not going to use it for that purpose.
No.
It's not got any ghostly ridding purposes.
What if you had the Colonel recipe? 7 herbs and spices. I believe sage is one of them.
That's just weird. I don't know.
I found the original recipe and I'm not telling you. I'm just using it to rid myself of ghosts. That'd be the way to do it.
Okay.
Well, if anyone knows the answer to that question, I'd love to hear the answer. That wraps up today's program of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, help us stay on the air. Become an extra podcast person. All you have to do is sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all the bonus episodes of the program and advanced episodes as well. Swallow your tea. What's your Instagram? What do you want people to follow?
At Jenny Brewski.
There you go. I'm at Tony Brewski. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.